diabolo, to throw. It's where we get ball from, to throw until penetration, dia. He is going to hurl accusations against you until he penetrates and gets you to doubt and gets you to question and gets you to not believe that what God said is yours is yours. And precisely what I'm going to talk to you about this morning is healing is your right.
Amen.
In the United States, we have the Bill of Rights, right? We have the right to bear arms. We have the right to pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. You have the, what do you see on the cop shows all the time, right? You have the right to remain silent. We have the right not to self-incriminate. Okay? We have rights here in the United States. Well, you know what? When you accept Jesus as your Savior, when you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you enter the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom, the rules and regulations of heaven. You now have rights. I'm getting way ahead of myself. So, yeah, we have right to bear arms, right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, tells us that we are the righteousness of God in Jesus. For God, who made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Okay, Jesus was made sin. On the cross, he who never sinned, who knew no sin, was made sin. He didn't endure sin, he bore it. He took it in himself on the cross. He bore that sin. He picked all of our sin and carried it within himself. For he, God, who made Jesus to be sin for us, Jesus who knew no sin, that we, you and I, might be made through our acceptance of Jesus as Lord, might be made the righteousness of God, the being in right standing of God in Jesus. So we were given a multitude of rights. That's where we got it. We got it from Jesus. Jesus deserved it. He earned it. He lived the perfect life. He got all the blessings in the Bible. They were all his. And he took everything that was ours from a life of sin and gave us the right to become sons of God. That is so important. We have to get this understanding that once we believe God and declare that Jesus is Lord, we have rights. You know, if somebody gave you two gifts, and they were both awesome gifts. Let's say it was for a woman. I'm going to just use a woman. And this is not kind of stuff that my wife usually wants. But I'm just going to say diamond ring and diamond earrings. A matching set. But you go and you pick up that diamond ring and you walk away and you leave the diamond earring sitting there. You've taken salvation, but you've left healing behind. You have the right to that gift. It's yours. All you got to do is pick it up. But so much of the time, we leave it on the table. And so much of the time, we stupid ourselves. Right? That, man, we hit the, that hits the spot. So many times, we just don't take care of ourselves. We don't exercise. We don't eat right. But God can restore. He can regrow. He can rebuild. We can start on the path. We can start walking up and down the driveway. We can start walking around the block. We can start. We can stop eating all the sugary, wonderful pastries that we all love to eat and start eating vegetables. Start eating proteins. I tell you what, that D word, I have a hard time with that one. You know what the D word is? Donuts. Yeah, see, my wife knew right away. Donuts. I tell my kids, don't say the D word in front of me. Don't bring donuts. I try to stay away from those things. Matthew 5:20 is one of the big rights. We have the right to go to heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And as far as physical righteousness goes, those guys had it down pat. They knew how to rule themselves on the outside, right? Tithe, mint, rue, cumin, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? You tithe all this, but you devour widows' houses? Oh, you didn't pay me your rent. That house is mine. Get out. Right? No mercy, no grace. So except that your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Does our righteousness exceed their righteousness? You bet it does. Because we're the righteousness of God in the anointing of Jesus. Okay? Our righteousness far exceeds. We have the right to go to heaven. You can't separate healing and salvation. The truth is, God gave them both to us. You can't really separate. It's the same blood that was shed at the same time. There's no difference. The blood that poured out his side poured out his back. It says we are healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. It's the same blood on the same day in the same sacrifice. Healing and salvation are both there. Salvation is wholeness, to be whole, to be restored. What is that? That's healing. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That's healing. That's divine health. Salvation and healing are the same. It's there. We have both. Don't leave it sitting behind. Okay, but what did Sherry have to do? She had to speak the word. That's such a fabulous example, because you know what? Sometimes it doesn't happen instantaneously. The devil is going to fight you. He is going to keep giving you symptoms. God doesn't give you those symptoms. The devil is the one that attacks us. God can't give you sickness. He doesn't have it. How would he even give it to you? Is he going to touch you? Is he going to put his hand on you to give it to you? No, it said he laid his hands on them and they were restored. Is he going to speak it on you? The Bible says he spoke the word and they were healed. The centurion's servant was healed. And a centurion even understood that. He believed it. Are we going to believe it? I got to watch. I'm still getting ahead of myself. It was the same blood that paid for sin and sickness and the peace of your mind. You know, man, we hear a lot today about psychological sickness and, you know, we have to be understanding of people with mental illness. Somebody was telling me about their local school that has litter boxes in the gym or the ladies' room because there's children at that school that believe they're cats, and so they have to use a litter box instead of the toilet. Okay, they make allowances for this. What they need is the devil cast out of them. Okay. But the peace of your mind was paid for at the same time. Now, if you've been here for the school of healing, a lot of this is going to sound familiar. But I want to break down some of Revelation 12, 7 through 12. So let's look at that, and then we're going to go back and look at verse 10. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. And prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. So they were removed. They lost the battle. They were kicked out. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. Conquered the whole world? No, deceived. The devil is an expert at lying to you and being really believable. He deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, his anointed one. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." What are you saying? What's your testimony? "And they love not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." The devil hates your guts. He does not. He left what you're going to. He got kicked out because he raised himself up against God. He stood against God. He got kicked out. And he knows what you're going for, and he wishes he was there, so he don't want you to have it. That's why he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, because he hates your guts. He does not want you redeemed. He wants you suffering with him. Misery loves company. Have anybody ever heard misery loves company? That's what he's talking about here. And he knows his time is short. There is not much time left. And so he is doing a great job of deceiving the people in the United States. The devil has come down. He's been cast. Whoa, beware. Oh, whoa, sorry, feeling bad for you. But let's go back up to verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. There is power. Old song, we used to sing it in the Assembly of God Church I grew up in. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Okay? There is power in that blood. And we access it by the word of our testimony. The words of our mouth. Kicking the devil out. Shut up, devil. Get out of here. I'm healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. Shut up, devil. Get out of here. You've got no right to put sickness on me. I walk in divine health. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. I have the divine right to be healed. It's my right. I'm claiming it. Get lost, devil. Now he starts running. Don't go there. Devils, stay away. They're learning. They're going to beat you to a pulp. You're right. I am. I've got the sword of the Spirit. I'm going to flay you. Because they love not their lives unto death. Sometimes we have to resist all the way to the grave. We resisted. My mother-in-law didn't make it. Not sure why, but I'll find out when we get to heaven. Because we fought it all the way to the grave. Verse 10 is so important. And my wife introduced me to an app called the Blue Letter Bible. I love this app. I can get it to open. I would encourage you all to get this. You can tap on a verse and the screen will slide over and there's a bunch of stuff on the right hand side and you can hit this thing called interlinear. And it brings up the Greek words or Hebrew if it's Old Testament and gives you their definitions, their pronunciations, all that stuff like this. And sometimes we're used to, because of the way religion has been taught in the United States, using words that have lost true meaning. The word apostle was never translated out of the Greek. It's a Greek word. And if you look it up, if my wife says, "Honey, I need some cheese for cooking this dinner tonight, run to the store and get some." Well, you know what? I'm an apostle. I'm sent. She sent me to the store. It means to be a sent one. But we've put this religious term on it because We didn't know what else to do with it. It just, they didn't translate it. So I'm going to go real quick, because you know this is my favorite one, right? The word Christ in the Hebrew or in the Greek, it's Christos. See, I should have been looking on the right instead of at the Greek. Christos is the Greek word. And now it's going to go slow for me this morning, right? Christ equals anointed. The Messiah, the Son, anointed one. So that's when we look at that word Christ, we need to translate it and meditate it. Okay? I can do all things through Christ, which, not who, is referring to the anointing. I can do all things through the anointing, which strengthens me. Right? So, that's an example, another example of a word that was just not translated. But some of the words that were translated, strength. Now, if we look at that word strength, that's actually sometimes translated power, but not in this case. Dunamis is the word. I think some of us have heard that. That is the word where we get dynamite from. The Greek word is the origin of dynamite. Dunamis, strength, power, ability. Inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. Power residing in us by virtue of our right to the anointing of the blood of Jesus. Power. Power for performing miracles. Do you need a miracle in your life? That power, that dynamite is in you right now. I don't care what it looks like. I have it. It's mine. I am healed. Power, that word power in verse 10 comes from the word exousia. Okay? Power of choice, permission, physical and mental power. How many times? It's always, the battle is always in your mind. That's where it starts. That's where the devil wants to get you, is in your mind. The power, the battle is in your mind. And this says, exousia is mental power, ability, strength with which one is endued. You have been endued with power. The power of authority and of right. The power of rule or government. You have the authority. You have the rule over sickness. You have the right, the rule of health and healing. You have authority to tell your body, start acting the way that God designed you to act. Start acting healed. Body, I am healed. I have the power to do this. This is an amazing verse. We have strength and the kingdom, the rule and regulation, the rights of our God, and the power, the authority, the rule of His Christ, His anointed one, His anointing that is on the inside of us. This is an incredible strength and power that we have, and we leave it sitting on the table. We don't use it. We go, ow, my elbow hurts. Okay, it's okay. Here's the problem. We need to figure out where to put our butt. Okay? I know I'm healed, but oh, do I hurt? Okay, that is the wrong place to put your butt. Butt is a conjunction. It ties two parts together. Okay, I know I look like death warmed over. I know I feel rotten, lousy, like I can't get out of this bed, but I am healed by the stripes on Jesus' back, but I am strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for attaining steadfastness and patience with joy. That's the right place to put your butt. That cancels out what came before. So it cancels out that I feel like death warmed over. It cancels out that every bone in my body hurts today. It cancels out the ouch, my fingers are swelling, my hand is swelling, but I am healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. I can do all things through the anointing, which gives me strength. I can walk in and notice. Sherry gave such a good example. She did what she couldn't do. She started moving that hand, even though it hurt. She started trying to do what she knew she had the right to do because she was healed. She had the right to healing. The right, the authority to be healed, the authority to speak the word over her body. In verse 10, he talks about the kingdom, God's way of doing things, his power, his anointing. It's all of ours. That's what does the work. That dynamite power of God does the work. But if you don't believe it, it won't work for you. What are you going to believe? What are you going to say? What is going to be the word of your testimony? You've got to speak that word out of your mouth and shut up when the thoughts that are coming to you are the words you should not be speaking. Shut up when you want to put your butt in the wrong place. Don't say it. Switch it around. Man, I feel lousy, but I am healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. Make sure that you... Man, there are times I need to just shut up. My wife tells me sometimes, honey, you need to not say that. Because we all do. The thoughts come and we don't take every thought captive. And we need to take those thoughts captive. Romans 8:11, and I started talking about this a little bit earlier. But that same spirit, but if the spirit of him, Jesus, of God, the spirit of him, God, that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. He, God, that raised up the anointed one from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit, the spirit of anointing, that dwells in you. He quickened, made well, perfected your mortal body. If that spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Does that spirit dwell in you? Do you believe God raised Jesus from the dead? Have you said with your mouth, Jesus is Lord? That spirit dwells in you. Yes. Whether you use it or not is up to you. Okay? But he, God, that raised Christ, the anointed one, from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies. There it is. Your right, your privilege, your authority to be healed. You can willingly surrender your rights in the United States. You can surrender your right to remain silent and tell the cop everything that happened. You can surrender your right to free speech and keep your mouth shut when sometimes maybe we shouldn't. We can surrender our rights. Don't surrender this one. Keep it. Use it. We need to recognize sickness is from the devil. Back in the 70s, there were people who were attributing healing to the devil. He can't heal you. If he touches you, he is sickness and disease. If he touches you, you're going to get sicker. He can't take He can't take sickness off of you. He is sickness. If he goes to touch you to take it off, he's just going to get sicker. Recognize sickness comes from the enemy and not from God. God doesn't make you sick to teach you something. Okay? He teaches you by this word. He gave his word. Most of the time it's collecting dust on a shelf. Okay? Get it down and read it. That's how he teaches you. He teaches you by his word. He teaches you by the voice of the Holy Spirit, which you can't hear. I had to confess over myself for a long time, I will hear the voice of the Lord my God, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. And that's from Psalm, I think, 35. I will hear the voice of the Lord my God. You know what? You have to sensitize yourself to that still small voice. How many times have I screwed up? I didn't do what that voice said, and I paid for it later. Lost a van because I was too busy to stick it back in the driveway. And when I was leaving with the other vehicle, I heard very clearly, put your van in the driveway. And somebody rear-ended it, and they managed to run away, but they totaled my van. And it was a really nice one that we got for a great deal. Because I didn't listen. And I knew that it was the voice of the Holy Spirit, but I was just too busy to bother to stop and do what he was telling me to do. If I had done that, would I have ever noticed that I avoided anything? No. I would have never known that somebody was running along the curb down the street, messing with their radio or whatever they were doing. They weren't looking and they smashed into the back of my van. And nobody saw them. The neighbor came over and said, hey, somebody hit your van. But they didn't see who did it. You know, but if I had obeyed, I'd have come back later and had to move vehicles around again and been frustrated, and I never would have known. Sometimes we just need to do what God's telling us to do. Yeah. He told me a couple years ago, you need to start exercising. I'm starting. I didn't start a couple years ago. I'm starting now. You know, thankfully I have a wife that likes to exercise with me, and that makes it a lot better. But there's Kenneth Copeland. God told him to start exercising. He didn't do it. All of a sudden he had heart problems. He had to have a pacemaker put in. God said, you didn't do what I told you to do. It's really important for us to do what God's telling us to do, to listen to that voice of the Spirit. Sickness and disease is listed as a curse. Look at Deuteronomy 28:61. You know, you have the blessings in Deuteronomy, and it's this couple verses, I think the first 8 or 10 verses. And then you got about 20 or more verses, or 50 or more verses of curses. There's a whole lot more curses, but we're redeemed from the curse. So every sickness, every plague, COVID, which is not written in the book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon you until you be destroyed. Okay, that's, you got to realize in the Old Testament, they didn't understand who the devil was. They attributed that to the Lord, but sickness is part of the curse. The curse is what the devil brings on us. So sickness, disease, that comes from the devil. But Galatians 3:13 says, the anointed one has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. When Jesus got on that cross, he became a curse for us. He suffered so that we could have health and healing. He became poor so that we might be rich. He experienced mental anguish and mental disease so that we can have peace. He became, Isaiah talks about this, he became our peace. We have the peace of our mind from the anointing of Jesus. If your mind is troubled, stop focusing on what's troubling your mind and start focusing on the promises of God. I mean, how many of you wake up in the middle of the night and there's some problem from work or some problem in your family that just is going over and over and over and over in your mind? And you keep thinking about that and you can't get back to sleep and it just keeps... You know what? That is that diabolo. That is the devil trying to rob you from sleep. You know what? The Bible says, I will lie down and my sleep will be sweet. He gives sleep to his beloved. Guess what? I'm his beloved. I count. I get sleep. When those things happen to me, I have learned, start singing a praise song. Oh my gosh, the devil hates that. He wants you back to sleep so fast. Start speaking the word. Praying, yeah, pray in tongues. I've done that. Pray in tongues. Start speaking the word. If he's going to hammer you with that situation, just get that sword of the Spirit out and start slicing right back.
Exactly.
No, devil. I'm healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. No, devil. I have great peace. No, devil. My family members are covered by the blood. I speak healing over my sister-in-law. I speak health over her. No, devil. You're not messing with this family. I have an abundance for every good work. My God supplies all my need. I will sow my seed. I will reap my harvest. Now, when you start speaking the word, what's going to happen? You're resisting the devil. He's going to flee. You can get back to sleep. You can have great peace because you love his word. It says, great peace have those who love his word. Nothing offends them. I need to love the word more because I'm telling you what, I get offended. Oh, God is so good. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Sickness is no longer part of us. We've been redeemed from sickness. That's part of the curse of the law. And you can say that. No, devil, you may have given me sickness, but I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I am redeemed. Sickness is not part of my life anymore. There is so much in the Word of God that you, if you learn it, you can start speaking it when you need it. I remember dropping a piece of pipe where I was working in a fire sprinkler shop and we were cutting a piece of 6-inch pipe, I think it was. And that thing popped off the end, that little end that we were trimming off popped off and it landed right on my little toe. Now, I did not have steel-toed boots, so it was probably my stupid, right? But I remember jumping up, and even I didn't care that there were other employees around. I said, I am healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. My boot felt so tight as I was driving home that day. And that toe was black, but by the next morning it was fine. I didn't go get it x-rayed. I didn't ask if it was broken. I didn't ask anybody's opinion about it. I spoke God's opinion about it. I am healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. And you know what? Write those things down. If you need to, journal them. And then go back and look at all the miracles that God has done in your life. That's going to increase your faith. That's going to build you up. That's going to make you whole. When you realize, look, God has done a lot for me already, he can certainly heal this. Cancer is nothing to God. It's nothing. It's no big deal. I remember Andrew Wattman talking about a woman who was coming up to him in tears because she had been diagnosed with cancer, and he was laughing. It's nothing. It's no bigger to God than a hangnail. Okay? Just, you are healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. Cancer does not have a chance. The mountains melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. If the presence of the Lord is inside of you, that cancer melts like wax. Don't be afraid. Do not fear. How many times in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, does it say, do not fear. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear rule. Fear has torment. I'm starting to get ahead of myself again. James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, no changeability, neither shadow of turning. God doesn't change. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. There are people who want to call the Constitution alive so they can change it. But the Word of God says, look, when you're alive, you don't change. There is no variableness, no changeability. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Neither shadow of turning. He's not changing his mind. He's not turning around and going, well, you can be healed, but not you. Okay, he doesn't play favorites. There's no changing. There's no turning. It's always yours. It is your divine right. Remember when they used to say kings ruled by divine right? Okay, that was really a fallacy by, you know, my ancestor. William the Conqueror, he was a nasty guy. He ruled by divine right. No, he ruled by might. Okay? There's no changing. Your divine right is health. Your divine right is healing. Your divine right is wholeness. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. John 4:18. How many of you are afraid? Have you ever been afraid of being sick? You're afraid of pain. None of us want to feel pain. Hey, I've had fear. There is no fear in love. What does the Bible say? God is love. There is no fear in God, no fear in love. But this is not your perfect love for God. This is not a requirement that, oh, I've got to get to the point where my love for God is perfect and then I won't fear. No, this is when you understand God's perfect love for you, it casts out fear. The more you understand God's love for you, the more fear is never going to have a hold over you. The more you understand God's love for you, the less fear is going to be able to get into you and start affecting you. God's perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. What does fear come from? Fear comes from your thoughts. Your emotions are going to follow your dominant thoughts. Your emotions are going to take you down a path that you don't want to go if you're thinking the wrong thing. Okay? Your emotions are going to follow your dominant thoughts. You want to change your emotions, change what you're thinking about. Take every thought captive. Take it captive. Don't keep thinking it. Don't let the devil keep throwing those darts until he penetrates. Hold up that shield of faith. Start speaking the word. Start believing the word. Healing starts in your mind, not in your body. There's people that come up, and I remember somebody saying this to me once, why can't I get healed? It starts in your mind. Don't come up for prayer and then we lay hands on you and then you look to see if you're healed. Okay, that's not the way it works. Because if you're looking, you're not believing. You're believing what you see, not what God's word says. It's so important. It starts in the mind. Get your mind right, right? James 4:7. What were we talking about? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. So you've got to start that in your mind. You've got to start that thought process that says, I don't care what I feel. I don't care what I see. I am healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what I see. I may look like death warmed over, but I am healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. So it starts. The battle is between your ears. And I've said that before a lot of times, and I'm going to keep saying it because I need to beat it into my own brain. The fight you have is between your ears. It's not with the person who's making you angry. It's not with the person that's giving you a hard time. It's not with the waiter that messed up your order. The battle is between your ears. You know what? You've got to. How many of you have ever been chased by a dog? Anybody here been chased by a dog? Okay. I used to be a paper boy. Been chased by a dog a few times. I learned something. Turn around, start running after them. Here's the animal instinct, right? Prey flees, predators pursue. Prey flees, predators pursue. You turn around and you start chasing after that dog? I've never had a dog not run from me. They understand that. Predators pursue. Oh, they're coming after me? I'm the prey. Okay? This is the devil in a nutshell. When you're running from him, he's going to keep throwing those accusations. He's going to keep throwing those circumstances. He's going to keep throwing that pain. But when you turn around and you start pursuing him with the sword of the Spirit in your hand, I better run now. Okay? But you've got to keep it up. Because if you turn around, then that dog comes right back after you again. Oh, did you know the word Satan means dog? Yes. The word Satan, he hates that name. He used to be Lucifer, the morning star. Now he's Satan, the dog. Pursue him. But man, you stop pursuing, he's going to turn around and come back after you again. You got to keep at it. You've got to keep speaking the word. Sherry didn't stop speaking the word just because her hand started, you know, the pain left her wrist. She didn't stop speaking the word just because the swelling went down a little bit. She kept at it. She kept speaking that word. That's what we have to do. We've got to keep speaking that word. You know what? When you see it manifest, keep speaking it anyway. Because you keep pursuing the devil and he has to flee. He doesn't have a choice. That's the way he's built. Look at John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay. You shall know. What if you don't know the truth? Are you going to be free? It's only the truth you know that's going to make you free. Where are you going to get that truth from? You're going to get it from the Word of God. But if you don't ever crack it open, if you don't ever read it, you're not going to know what's there. You can listen to good teaching, and it's great, but it doesn't replace reading and meditating. Don't just read it, and then you don't even remember what you read. Remember the seed that was cast on the side of the road, and the fowls, the birds of the air came and ate it up? That's what happens when you read the Bible and you don't even know what you just read. There's times I have to go back. I'm like, oh, man, how was I thinking about something else? I don't even know what I just read. And I go back up and I reread. Read it out loud. Then your mind can't start wandering off to other directions. Get in. Know that truth. Find that truth. Dig that truth. You know what? Google may be an ungodly company, but they've got a great machine out there. And you know what? You can Google passages of Scripture. All you can think of is, you know, what the Bible says this word somewhere. You can Google it and you'll find it. It'll lead you to that Scripture. There's a Bible website called Bible Gateway. Bible Gateway is great. I actually use it when I'm preparing a sermon. It is great for looking up stuff and finding where the references are and digging the truth out of God's Word. And it has just every, man, you look at how many versions of the Bible there are. Some of them should be there, but that's okay. You can always eat the hay and toss out the straw. Exactly. Throw out the sticks. So the truth you know is what's going to make you free. Not the truth you doubt. Are you going to believe what you feel, or are you going to believe what God's Word says about you? Before I go to the next verse, I'm just going to go, how many of you remember Elijah and Gehazi? Gehazi, his servant, gets up in the morning, and he comes running back. He's like, my master, The army surrounded us. The Syrians surrounded the city of Dothan. Why? Because somebody told them the prophet that is stopping our army from winning is in Dothan. And so the king sent his army out there to get rid of this prophet so he could win against Israel. And he said, "My master, my master." And he, what did Elijah say? He said, "Those that are with us are more than those that are with them." And what's Gehazi doing? He's going, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. And he said, "Open his eyes." Let me tell you, his eyes were open. They were probably as big as dinner plates. But there are two realms. There are the realm of this world, which is the devil's domain. He won it when he got Adam to sin. Okay? It's his realm. He has the authority in this world, but he doesn't have authority over us. And there's the realm of the spirit, which is where our authority comes from. All right? And he said, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And he said, my father, the chariots of Israel and her horsemen, because they were surrounded by an army of angels. And one bony-fingered prophet struck an entire army blind and led them right to the king of Israel, who gave them a feast and sent them home. He didn't slaughter them. They understood, there's power here. We need to understand, there's power here. We need to understand there's power in that spirit realm that we can bring into the physical realm. Because that power dwells on the inside of us. It's within us. We just got to get it out through our flesh. Sickness and disease want to isolate you. How many times do you stay home from church because you just don't feel well? Now, I understand if you don't want to get other people sick. Put a face mask on. Sickness will isolate you. Can't go to the church when you're in a hospital bed. What happens when somebody's isolated? They get picked off. What happens to that last antelope that doesn't keep up with the rest of the herd? That's the one that lions get. Don't be isolated. Don't let the devil pick you off. He wants to isolate you because he wants to keep you from the fellowship of those who would encourage you, those who would give you God's word, the people here that would pray over you, the people here that will speak God's word. And there's several of us. Any of us on the prayer team, we're not going to speak doubt and unbelief. We're going to speak God's word over you, with you, and afterwards. Okay? We are not going to give in to the devil. We are going to, I love taking out the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and just letting them have it. It's so much fun. In my mind, I just see myself just cutting deep with that two-edged sword. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Let's look at 1 John 3:8. "He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested." For this purpose, Jesus came to earth. That's what that means. Son of God was manifested. "For this purpose, Jesus came to earth that he might destroy the works of the devil." How did he destroy the works of the devil? He died on the cross. He was suffered. He became a curse for us. He made us the righteousness of God. The Bible says he perfectly pleased the Father, so he must have gotten us done. He destroyed the works of the devil. Don't let the devil work over you. His works have been destroyed. Believe the word of God. So why don't we see more healing? Why don't we see the people around us being healed? Let's look at Matthew 11:13, verse 58. This is when Jesus went home. He went to his home church, the church he grew up in. You're like, Where did this guy get this teaching? Where did he get this amazing words? Where did he come up with this? He came up with it from the Word of God that he put on the inside. Remember, he was at 12. He was listening to the teachers and astounding them. He was absorbing that word. But here, they wouldn't believe him. He was in his hometown. They knew him. They watched him grow up from a boy. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. We live in a world that is baptized by unbelief. 4 o'clock hour of doubt and despair, followed by the 5 o'clock hour of gloom and doom, followed by the 7, 8, 9 o'clock hour of adultery, fornication, and murder, followed by the 10 o'clock hour of unbelief, fear, and failure. I'm guilty. I watch way too much TV. I only see what I believe. You know, the people who say that are great at confessing the negative. Oh, man, if we borrow the money to buy the tickets to go on that cruise, then the kids will get sick and we won't even get to go, and then we'll be in debt for the tickets. That would be the things they would say, but they only believe what they see. Well, they didn't see that, but they believe it. I'm going to choose to believe what's in God's Word instead of believing what I see with my eyes. If it's contrary to God's promises, I'm going to choose to believe. That may be true, but I have the promise of God's Word that I have an abundance for every good work. That may be true, but I have a promise from God's Word that I am healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. That may be true, but I have a promise from God's Word that says I'm strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for attaining the ability to stand fast with patience and joy. We need to talk about joy. The devil can't steal your joy. He can't steal your stuff. Maybe we'll talk about that in 2 weeks. James 4:2. You lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and you cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You don't need to fight for it. You just need to receive it. You need to ask God for it, knowing that because He promised it in His Word, whatever we ask, He'll give us. It's His promise. Luke 11:9-13. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. What's God saying here? Just get into my word. Find out what the promises are. Ask me. I'm ready. I'm waiting. I want to give it to you. If a son asks for bread, of any of you that is his father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Ask and ye shall receive. God's telling you, I've got awesome plans for you. I want the best for you. Would you ask me? Would you believe me? And if you're praying in the Holy Spirit, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you can still go to heaven. You'll get there faster. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, man, pray in tongues. Speak it. When you don't know what to pray, pray in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows what to pray. He'll put it in there. Ask and you shall receive. Now, I want to go over real quick one of my favorite scriptures, Luke 15:11-31. And this is the prodigal son. It's the story of the prodigal son, and we're not going to go into great detail, but I want us to see at the conclusion of this, there's some certain things that happened here that are exactly what we do. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me. And he divided unto who? Him? Them. He gave it to both. He didn't just give them to the younger son. He gave it to the older son. He divided unto them. So, what does the older son have? Everything the younger son has. He divided it between them. Here, it's yours. Use it as you see fit. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all, took his journey into a far country, and wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, he was a great money manager, huh? And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the swine. And he would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine eat, and no man gave him anything. This is where a lot of people focus on this, is the foolishness of this guy. But we're not going to really focus on him. And he came to himself, and he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And here I perish with hunger. I will rise, go to my father, and say to him, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he rose, came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. This is how much God loves you. No matter how stupid you are. No matter how bad your stupid is, this is how much God loves you. He forgives you. He wants you back. He loves you. He's got great things for you. But his father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. God wants you supplied well, the best. God wants you to have the best. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now here's why I want to start focusing in. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came, he drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and said, hey, what's going on? And he said unto him, your brother has come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And the older son was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. You know what? When you're mad at life circumstances, God's going to come and meet you where you are. He loves you so much. He's coming to where you are. He's coming to you. He's going to meet you. He's going to love you. He's going to tell you the truth. You screwed up. What does he say? And answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time your commandment, and yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. What happened back in the first verse? He says, you never gave me anything. Wait a minute. It's all his. He already gave it. He divided unto them. It's already all his. But as soon as thy son which came, which had devoured thy living with harlots, you killed the fatted calf. And he said, son, you are ever with me, and all that I have is thine. God has given you everything. Stop leaving it on the table and not using what he gave you to use. It's yours. It is yours. It is your divine right to walk in health, to walk in peace of mind, to walk in prosperity, to walk in happiness, to walk in joy, which is a weapon for the right hand and the left, the Bible tells us. God wants the best for you. He loves you. He desires for you to live in peace, in prosperity, in health, in wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. But like the older son, we don't even think we've got it. We don't realize the power is ours, the forgiveness is ours, the love is ours. It already belongs to us take it and use it. Amen. Let's pray. And then, Father, thank you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that gave us everything. It's all ours. Thank you that we have the power inside of us that raised Jesus from the dead, and we can use it. We can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's some snacks.